Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Men's Tee Clinic in Frisco off of El Dorado. Remember, $25 tee test all day for all patients. You can get your baseline. You can set up your plan. Remember, that's at all the locations. I know we're here in Frisco, and the G-Bag Nation is going to be coming up right after us, but that is available at all locations today. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE. That's 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE. And now, it's time for the C Block, starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really appreciate that. And yeah, man, really appreciate Men's Tee Clinic for having us out here today. And I know G-Bag is going to absolutely crush it when they get out here. Broadus is already here. I think he texted in talk bass fishing just a few minutes ago.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm early in on what the plopper is going to do this time. You know what I mean? Also want to give a shout out and thank you to Seraphim's Floral. They brought by a bouquet and a teddy bear and a little bag. I don't know what's in it because I'm not allowed to look because that's Lucy's, but they brought that by for Lucy. They are the
hot local, rod.
Yeah. They're Rodney, the local florist out here in Frisco. So thank you to them for bringing that by. Really appreciate it. All right. We're going to get into a little bit of Jerry Jones in just a moment.
Yes.
Last night's hits and misses, though. The hits, there was one, and it was the Turpin play. Again, I go back to that is how, other than that, Turpin has very limited skill set. He is a gadget guy. That's it for him. But you got to build yards after catch for him. You really do have to build that into the play. And that's one of the things that I think that Shanahan and the McDaniels, they do pretty well as they do build things. Whenever their plays get off, they're because something downfield, the blocking downfield was effective.
Turpin, I get it. He is not what Sean McVay has had with whether it's Cup, whether it's who's the new guy, second year guy?
Nakua.
No, yeah, Puka Nakua. And then you just think of the history of all the white Texas Tech little receivers that New England had, right?
Uh-huh.
It felt like they were all
Wes Welker. Yeah, yeah, I gotcha.
Amendola. Yeah. Like it felt like it was like, hey, how are all these Texas Tech? It feels like Turpin, even though probably not in that category, it feels like other coaches have gotten more out of guys like that than the Cowboys do. To your point, Corey, there's been guys that have been that little and maybe not that wanted. Wes Welker released from Miami, right? Maybe not released, but hell, was he with the Cowboys at one point and got released? But
that's Amendola.
Amendola, thank you. It just feels like coaching staffs have gotten more out of those super little quick guys than the Cowboys have been able to. Thumbs up, dude. Yeah, that was awesome. One touchdown.
That play, that specific play that worked out for him. I don't think he's a deep ball threat like Justin Jefferson because I think he's limited there. And I also don't think he's run him in all these different circles to get him open. He is a straight line guy. He's got amazing speed. Fastest this year, right? Fastest
since 2020, too, I think.
I thought the biggest hit last night was when Tyler Guyton picked up the ball and thought he was going to run it in first.
All right. Well,
Kevin thought the biggest hit was whenever Zach Martin missed on the
dude, that was legitimately the biggest hit, unless you want to go to – man, this is where I would complain if I was the Texans in this game. The Cowboys had four personal fouls on the same play. Overshown, Leafau, Mozzie, and Diggs all got a personal foul. The Texans got one personal foul, and they said, those penalties offset. Look, I get it. Like, the personal foul, but I would be like, hold on.
What do you
say? They had
here?
Four personal fouls. We had one. I feel like we should get something out of this.
Can you imagine if they were, if personal fouls, dead ball personal fouls were all accepted?
Oh, my God.
And that would have been first and 55,
You're
I guess.
Actually in the end zone, guys.
And that would have been, you got a positive one because.
Halfway into the end zone.
They'd be like, I'll let you punt the ball and see if you get a first down.
It feels like the Cotton Bowl I watched was at Miami and A&M. Like,
yes.
The first possession was like third and 48 or something. You're like, what in the – how is this happening? How is this possible?
Misses for last night. Number six, Dowdle. For me, it is brutal how much they want to use Dowdle, but how he isn't producing the way they want. And – I understand. I went back and looked at his college numbers, and I was like, man, I'm really trying to figure out Rico Dowdle. There were moments that you – flashes that you saw from him, but his production in college was not, like, awe-inspiring by any means. He had 600 yards 1 year, and I was like, all right, that's cool and everything. And injuries obviously have been a factor, but they want him to be a feature back because they have no other option because they didn't invest in any other option, but it's not working out for him. Number five – that wild-ass stat last night that you saw on the screen, that the Lions, since the Lions game, the Cowboys have played with a lead for 2 minutes and 15 seconds, but they've been down by 20-plus points or more, 20-plus points for over 109 minutes. I was like, what is this stat?
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous, but it's a real thing that's happening.
And just think if it would continue after the game was over. It just kept continuing
until
the kickoff
so that
of the next 0-0 game.
That means this season the Cowboys have been about 50 times more likely to be trailing at home than by 20-plus points than leading.
It will stop the next home game.
That's the Giants game?
Yep.
By the way, giving away tickets in the 10 o'clock hour and the noon o'clock hour tomorrow to that Thanksgiving game.
All right. I like that. Thank you, Kevin. That's the day after Peace-a-thon, by the way.
That is true.
That's
by the way.
A lot of people have been actually saying that. They've been saying, you know, Thanksgiving this year is the day after Peace-a-thon. That's becoming a thing.
I was like, yes, like every year. Mm-hmm. By the way, Peace-a-thon preview tomorrow.
I like that. I like that a lot. Number four. Misses Brandon Aubrey. It's just not used to it. All right, I'm not used to it. I don't want to get used to it.
That's fair.
Number three, the fake punt. Terrible. Wanya Thomas almost got murdered in front of all those Texans fans.
Good
last
for
night.
Him for continuing to catch those passes that go nowhere, though.
Should have just let it go, but he still probably would have been hit. Number two, the tackling on the first drive. What?
Show Corey.
What are you
computer.
Looking at over here, Mike? Are you? Is that a pizza thong?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, one of our Tolos, Mike Gonzalez, is here right now, and he is going to be running Pizza-thon during Pizza-thon.
Uh-huh.
He will be at My Possibilities during Pizza-thon selling pizzas. They make it on-site out of his fruit
Not
food
in
truck.
A thong before Not, you ask that.
Maybe in a thong. I don't know. I don't Look, run his show.
Plenty of pizza thongs.
Yeah, there are lots
out there.
Of pizza-thongs out there.
Different pizza-thongs.
But he will be out there selling and proceeds will be going to My Possibilities. So if
I'll
you want
off.
To get involved with that, you can go out to MP. If you're in the Frisco or Plano or Richardson area, you can stop by MP and get some. We'll have more information on that.
Yes.
As it comes
Let's
along.
Get serious here.
Okay. Number two, the tackling on the first drive.
Thanks, Mike.
Nico Collins busts loose for the 79,000-yarder.
Yeah.
And then Mixon also great breaks one. And then the number one miss of the day yesterday, the roof. Okay, guys. We were finally going to – all the Arlington taxpayers were finally going to get their money's worth last night, and they were going to get an open stadium. There was no sun that was going to be a problem. Only the moon would interfere with last night's game until a piece of metal fell from the roof and almost hit somebody.
Yes.
Did you see the Texans troll job that they did?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Go look on their Instagram or Twitter or whatever, and they posted a shot from inside the stadium, right? So it's a shot looking at the stadium, and the piece of metal is falling, but they also have another piece of metal that's falling, and it looks like an L. And so,
oh dang, that is clever. That is very clever. I don't like it, but clever is clever.
Yeah,
we'll get them back next year.
No, we won't.
When will we play them and have a good?
I think it's every 3 years.
Okay,
right? Because you transfer.
Give me a hypothetical point spread in 3 years. Cowboys Texans.
Texans by 7.
Okay.
All right, and then this morning, RJ and Bobby had on Jerry Jones.
Did you hear the part right before they brought Jerry on and RJ talked about how the Cowboys lost to the Bengals?
Yeah, I did hear a little bit of that. But they had Jerry, and he was very subdued this morning. I think he's defeated. I really do. Just listening to him talk, he's defeated, and he's trying to come up with like excuses, solutions, whatever it is. But they asked what I thought was a very good question, and it was, do you feel, and this is cut number 8 here, they were asking if he felt like the coaching gives him an advantage, and he talked about all 32 coaches in the NFL.
Well, I think that everybody's got a responsibility here. We've got 32 coaches, and that's three coaches for every guy out on the football field. And so we've got it covered now in terms of numbers playing ball. But of course, at this level, players that have really with that are compensated like they're compensated. These are rare people who are out on that football field. You've heard me say before of the 75,000 that are playing college football this right now, this year.
I don't know if he's going to get
cut this one off real quick.
I don't think he's going to get to the point.
I do want to go to the next one
hear.
Too. Is there a concern with Mike McCarthy's play calling here?
That's always the issue. Do you want a walk around head coach, or do you want a one that's really in front of the team and everybody put an emphasis with his time on one side of the ball or the other, and does the walk around too. You get it both ways. You've seen it.
You know, that's good enough too, man. That's good enough for me right there with Jerry Jones.
Peyton did a crap job cutting these.
You know what? That's about as much as I really wanted to hear.
Chris did a good job.
As much as I really wanted to hear.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, man, I just wanted to dunk on
He wouldn't commit. He wouldn't commit to an answer on whether or not he thinks his coaching staff gives an advantage in the games, because he doesn't know if his coaching staff actually gives them an advantage.
Which means
in games.
You do know the answer, right?
Exactly.
If you can't say yes, then the answer is no.
Yeah, and you know what? In the past years, that has been his answer. Mike McCarthy, yes. As a matter of fact, I love what he's done with this team. All the things that they would go on and on about the skins he has on the wall and everything. But I think right now this is a team that just does not, they're not getting the message. They're not getting through what they want. All right. Have you seen the pictures of Caitlin Clark yelling at referees at a basketball game
in Iowa?
Yeah, there's pictures. I think there's some videos of it. I don't know why this shrunk the way that it did. But there she is just standing up like, what the hell are you doing, ref?
It's college basketball?
Yeah, I think it is at an Iowa game. And she's out there just yelling and everything. And she's going on and on about it. But
does she kind of strike you as a person that is a yeller at the refs?
She kind of looks like a Luka?
Yeah, she kind of looks like somebody that be wearing out all day.
I feel like this year she was like, I'm going to try and keep my mouth shut because I'm getting beat up and I'm going to just kind of try and avoid making anything happen.
I'm going to be honest. I don't watch women's basketball. Was she like that at Iowa?
She can wear some people out.
Yeah. But my question to you guys was, have you ever felt good after yelling at a referee or an umpire? Did it ever make you feel like, you know what? I really told him. Because last night I did see a tweet from Jared, and Jared was talking about how they were going to make it El Bombi Park at some point instead. And somebody was like, hey, Small Fry. And he was like, oh, my God, you called me Small Fry. And I was like, that's funny, because now that guy was like, he didn't get his pound of flesh there. You ever feel like you've ever really gotten one in on the ref or the umpire?
So I have two stories about that, but it wasn't me in either case.
Oh!
One of them was I was in the press box at a high school regional playoff game for soccer, and one of the dudes yelled, hey, ref, if you had one more eye, you'd be a Cyclops.
He has no
I
eyes.
Thought that was so damn funny, and I laughed and laughed. Another one, I was at a high school game for basketball sitting at the scorer's table, and the coach for Plano West goes, hey, ref, call this game the same way for both teams. Ref stops, turns around, he goes, are you insinuating that I'm favoring the other team over your team? And he goes, whoa, I didn't say that. And I was sitting there going, like, that is literally exactly what you just said, coach. And it was so funny because then he backed down. He's like, oh, no, you're doing great.
Yeah, you know what? That is kind of what I said there. I do remember that one time somebody yelled at the ref and said that John Roberson wasn't in the NBA yet. And Roberson thought it was funny and then made his free throws in everybody's face. And yeah. I was like, man, that dude is really good. He went to Tech, really, by the good. Way, Mike. He was a Texas Tech guy from Plano Senior High School.
Slot receiver?
Nope, he was a basketball player. But yeah, he
won,
was
Mr. Basketball.
Mr. Basketball in Texas.
Like then, Stanley Bonowitz?
Sure.
He played at Texas Tech in the 90s.
I don't know who that is.
He played with Tony Battee.
From the 940, as an official, we do not care about you yelling. Parents don't know the rules most of the time.
In Kemp, Texas, ninth grade basketball. Look, he got paid to do it. They throw the ball into the front court. The kid in the front court then throws the ball into the back court, and the ref's like, I don't know. I'm like, that's over and back. Like, he didn't know.
That's a
At one
rule.
Point, there was a dude who either traveled or did something, and he just blew his whistle. He's like, it's something. You did something. It's going to be the other team's ball. There are – I hear
are
what this refs
officials.
Are saying.
They're good officials.
There are people that there is such a shortage of refs. I get it. That they just give a dude a jersey and say, you're going to be a referee. He's like, I never played basketball. I've never really watched basketball. I don't know any of the rules. And the other ref was like, just kind of run up and down the court and help me out just a little bit. But there are plenty of parents who know way more than the referees or umpires do.
By the way, I just got some audio, Kevin, of Corey Seager on AM 570 LA Sports.
Oh, can I quickly plug Peace-a-thon, got a Rangers autograph Corey Seager hat.
I love it. I'm getting that.
Oh.
Here's his quote. Who do you think he's talking about? That's the guy you want on the mound. He's a special person.
Nathan Eovaldi.
Jack Leiter.
What?
Walker Buehler.
Okay,
Mike. So it was from
a
golf tournament that's going on out in L.A. But yeah, he was talking about Walker Buehler and said that's the guy you want on the mound. He's a special person.
That'll be interesting.
Wow.
I know Walker Buehler went to Vanderbilt. I don't know where he grew up. I don't know a lot about, like, would Texas be a place he wants to be? Is L.A. a place he doesn't want to be? Sometimes people are not, even though L.A., beautiful weather, all of these things. Obviously, same contract in Texas versus same contract in L.A.
Yeah.
Does it matter to the agent? No. Does it matter to the player?
Yes, you should.
You keep more money in your pocket. Cost of living, way less in Dallas-Fort Worth than it is in the Los Angeles area. So, I don't know. I'm really interested in him.
Yeah.
I always really liked him, and then I was like, gosh, what happened to him? But that little playoff run gave me optimism that maybe he could get back to the guy we saw 3 years ago.
That's C-Block, Kevin.
There you go, right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live from Men's Tee Clinic in Frisco off of El Dorado. Remember, G-Bag Nation is going to be coming up after us as Gavin Dawson enters the building. Coming up next, we'll power rank the NFL power rankings real quick. But then also, the Tuesday tailgate. Travis Hunter pulls away. The Cowboys' future running back breaks a record. And how do you get fired after you win? Next on The Fan.
Back, and there's a good pickup block by Dowdle. He throws an interception to the 30-yard line. Ball sailed on him, and Ferguson runs Derek Stingley, the cornerback, out of bounds, and it's turnover for turnover.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to get to the Tuesday tailgate in just a minute. But first, we power rank the NFL power rankings. How far do you think the Cowboys have fallen? And do you want NFL or ESPN to help you with this determination?
We went ESPN last time.
Okay.
So all right. We should go ESPN again.
Oh, that's not
I thought. Think Jacksonville's 32.
Okay.
If we're worried about the Cowboys, we've got to worry about 29 through 32.
Yeah, that okay. Fair. The Jacksonville Jaguars are only number 30.
Oh,
in the
wow.
ESPN power rankings.
Is Tennessee in New York?
Tennessee is not in the bottom three. New York is 31.
Cowboys are 32?
No.
I'm dead serious.
They're
at
not.
This point.
Vegas?
Las Vegas Raiders are number 32. So it goes Vegas, then the Giants, then the Jags. The Titans are 29th. Then the Browns.
Oh, really? You haven't said the Jets yet?
Then the Jets.
Okay. All right. Wow, the Panthers have moved up then,
man,
huh?
They've won two in a row.
They're streaking. The Look Panthers are up from 28 to 26. The Google Patriots are 25. And the Dallas Cowboys are 24th on the list. They're down from 22 to 24. By the way,
I'm going to be honest. This thing is way overrated, the Cowboys.
Huh, interesting.
What's your point?
Oh, okay. I guess that was his point, Jerry.
I think if Trevor Lawrence were to play this week against the Cowboys, I think, and I'm not like Trevor Lawrence is great. He's having a horrible year. Jacksonville would beat the Cowboys this week.
Okay. Interesting. Now, NFL.com, by the way, has the Cowboys at 25, just behind the Jets. So
I get it. They're all crappy. You can all jumble them up, and they're all crappy.
That is very true. Although, in this one, Jacksonville is last, and then the Raiders are next to last. I understand what you're saying right there. How low do you think the Cowboys can or will get?
I think they get to 32.
Oh,
I'm honest. I'm honest. I think that this is maybe the worst team in the NFL. I don't know how you can argue that if they played Cleveland again, you know that they would beat them with the team that they're putting. Like this upcoming week.
I don't
week,
know they will beat anybody.
Martin's not going to play. So now you need.
Probably not.
Guyton might not play after getting smoked after picking up that football.
Maybe not Jake Ferguson.
I don't know like if they could beat anybody in the NFL this upcoming week.
Yeah, that's a tough one to answer that question because, Kevin, what gets clicks? Cowboys, bottom of the – how low did they fall?
Yeah.
You know, like that's going to get clicks too. So I definitely think Mike's onto something there.
Let's go to cut number 21. Maybe this – is a potential future Cowboy as we start the Tuesday tailgate.
Wilson throws it up the sideline. Yeah. Oh, intercepted. Hunter, he's got a block. Travis Hunter into Utah territory. What a play for Colorado.
Now, in some places, Travis Hunter is now a 1-4 favorite to win the Heisman. Not 4-1. 1-4. Do you think, given how good Colorado has actually turned out to be and how versatile and amazing Travis Hunter is, do you think he's got it locked up or do you still think it's a two-person race with him and maybe the next Cowboys running back?
I still think it's a two-person race because Jinty's like, he's become everybody's flavor of the week, right? He's just jumped into everybody's hearts. Because of the amount of missed tackles that he produces, the size that he's running with. I think it's those two right there. And I said that was at my last week or 2 weeks ago, my combo platter was that those were the only two that really excited me
and
when
that,
I'm watching.
I don't even know this. Is this the first time in over 20 years that we're not talking about a quarterback
yes.
as a Heisman
and
candidate?
And that's what's exciting about it is that it's now more than just quarterback. It's other players and a player that can do so – he's so versatile. And both of those players are versatile, but the versatility of Hunter is just phenomenal.
And you look at Quinn Ewers, he got hurt. And Cam Ward, his team lost, which was really helping prop him up there. And then Carson Beck is just not that good.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the quarterback favorites have fallen by the wayside along the way. Now, give me cut number 22 if you can, because this is probably your other prime time Heisman finalist.
Jenty has a seam, and Jenty to the 20, Jenty to the 10, Jenty to the end zone.
down! Touchdown, Boise State!
Ashton Gentry, 159 yards this past weekend with three touchdowns. He has 1,893 yards rushing in 10 games. And he passes Jay Ajayi, who is a Metroplex product as well, for the record.
He has a Super Bowl ring with the Eagles.
Oh, yeah. Huh. He passes Ajayi for the most rushing yards in Boise State history. Consider this in a season. Ajayi had 1,823 yards in 14 games. Gentry has 1,893 in 10 games.
Wow. Wolchuk might be able to help me out with this one, but I saw this morning.
It's about why Plano West is better than
No, I saw this morning that he has 109 broken tackles already this year, Gentry does, and, like, that's the record. It's already he's already broken the record for it, and so where will his broken tackle numbers be by the end of this season is insane.
So people are saying Gentry hasn't played the competition you would like to see.
He's not playing Georgia. He's not playing Bama.
Who is Shedeur Sanders playing? I'm looking at Colorado's schedule. It is horrible.
And I'm gonna.
There's nothing they can do about it, just like Gentry can't do it about it. Shedeur Sanders has literally played. Kansas State was ranked 18th when they played him. That's the only ranked opponent he's played.
So, by the way, Ashton Gentry, you know who he has played this year? The undisputed number one team in the country, Oregon. Oh, what did he do in that game? 25 carries for 192 yards and three touchdowns.
That's it?
That's 7.7 yards per carry.
He could do better. He last year,
I mean,
he got 11.
You're right. In his next three games, he averaged at least 10 yards a carry. But 7.7 yards per carry is pretty damn good.
And it is improvement.
And I'm not saying that Shedeur Sanders shouldn't go number one overall. Maybe he should. But if you're going to have a knock on the running back and say, I don't want to draft him at a certain point, not because he's a running back, because of the competition, how could you ever say anything that Shedeur Sanders is playing such top competition? I've really seen this game. Boy, when he played Arizona and Cincinnati, or Texas Tech, boy, those are really tough opponents they played. Like,
what about Hunter? Does that change your mind again on Travis Hunter?
It doesn't change my mind on Gentry. It doesn't change my mind on Sanders. It doesn't change my mind. But I think for a lot of people who are knocking certain players, and I would say the running back, which is fine, you can. You do have to knock Hunter, and you do have to knock Sanders for the competition they've played.
I'll say this. There have been times where I do think that has been like, okay, he wasn't ready to face this kind of competition. Yeah. But then there's also the Khalil Mack. And I was Buffalo, who's he playing up there? And then you watch him, and you're like, oh, he's different. Like,
Marcus Ware probably played nobody in his college career.
You notice the different players. They stand out a lot. And like Wolchuk can say, man, he watches that film. You see the difference between guys that are beating up on small school guys and guys that are just going to – they could do it anywhere.
By the way, since we mentioned Oregon is now 11-0 for the first time since 2010. My next question is, how do you get fired after you win? I know there's been concerning motion pictures about how you get fired on your day off, and that is a fair question. That usually happens on a Friday. This happened on a Saturday. Temple fired their coach Stan Drayton after they won in overtime. Now, look, did he deserve it? Maybe. Since he was there, he was 9-25. In a couple of and 2.5 seasons.
So that was one of his nine?
That's right. And then it gets even worse. He was 18 in the American Athletic Conference. I get it. I'm not saying he didn't deserve to get fired, but how come it was after they won? That was their first. They lost two games before that by a total of 68 points.
Ooh.
Why not? In one of those games.
Yeah, well, because they didn't want a streak to happen. They were waiting until the end of the year, Kevin. And then they were like, this could be a hot streak. We don't want him to go on a tear here and then us have to fire him at the end of the year.
No chance they were going to go on a tear. You know why?
Why?
A couple days after Thanksgiving, they have to play UNT.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Go Mean Green.
Tear to be had.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Do you think he either said, you're getting fired now or after?
I think they were just saving him the embarrassment of having to go up against UNT.
Yeah.
He was like, UNT didn't score,
I think, three whole points against Army.
What are you doing right now?
Oh, sorry.
We were taking shots at Temple.
Do you think Zeke, if he went to UNT, he'd make them better?
No. No, I don't.
Not right now.
All right.
What do you think?
No, I think that there is – I had this off-the-air deal with you guys yesterday. I think there's 30, and you guys said I was too low, and I might be. I think there's 30 running backs in college that are 100% better than Ezekiel Elliott right now. And you guys said probably 50.
Yeah, he averaged 8 yards a carry last night. He had one carry, he ran for 8 yards.
That is a good point, Corey. Thank you for that. Now, let's talk about Kirk Cignetti.
Looked like he had to take a dump at the end of that run. He, like, sat his ass down, and you're like, keep running. But I guess when you're old and you can't, you just look like you take a dump at the end of the run.
Really appreciate everyone joining us.
Go watch it. Go watch. Go watch his dumpy
the children that are in attendance. Now, Indiana and Kurt Cignetti. Well, first of all, Cignetti got an 8-year contract extension because, you know, he's already the best coach Indiana has ever had. Now, they're going on the road against Ohio State. I would love for them to beat the crap out of Ohio State. However, they're about 2 touchdown underdogs.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's this. The last time Kurt Cignetti coached in Ohio Stadium was in 2003. He was the quarterback coach for then NC State. Phillip Rivers was the quarterback, and NC State took Ohio State to 3 overtimes until there was a goal line stand. Oh. But he put up a heck of a fight.
I like what you're talking about, because I had this thought. Where's that fat left-hander who played for NC State basketball? We need to call him
DJ
back up.
DJ Burns?
Yeah, and say, are you still sure about this basketball thing as you're making $12 an hour playing basketball? Because that is not your professional sport. I'm telling you, he could help out the Cowboys.
He's playing in Korea right now.
Yeah. Oh.
The Goyang Sono Sky Gunners.
Told you. And that's about where it should be. You tell me that you wouldn't take it. And by the way, here's what I'm doing today, too. Mozzie, you're now an offensive lineman because you're not a defensive lineman.
Wow. I would
seriously change his position to offensive line and see if he could maybe play as an offensive lineman in the NFL. It's proven to me he cannot play defense in the NFL.
You know that the great Tom Landry once told me it takes 3 years for a defensive lineman.
Well, they didn't trust Neville Gallimore, whatever his name was. I can't even remember all these horrible defensive tackles they've taken that. After 2 years, it has been decided they cannot play in this league.
If you want to root for Ohio State, I do have a really heartwarming story for you.
All right.
I mean, it's incredibly sad, but still. So, Carnell Tate caught a couple of touchdowns this past weekend against Northwestern. They played in Chicago. The reason why that was incredible and his teammates were just like mobbing him with love and everything is in July of 2023. So, you know, not that long ago, his mom was killed in a drive-by shooting in Chicago. And so he comes back. They win the game. He scores a couple of touchdowns. I know that doesn't like fix real life things,
right.
But I still just thought that was a really cool moment.
Big moment for him, for
and
sure.
Probably other members of his family. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we're live at Men's Tee in Frisco, and so will the G-Bag Nation. So let's chat with them next right here on The Fan.
I don't think they have any wide receivers in the game on first and goal. They will give it to Mixon, and he will dive in over the right guard for a touchdown. With 3:16 to play.
Third touchdown, right? Isn't that his third of the game?
Yes, it is.
For Mixon? Wow.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. One good thing for us today is we've deconstructed the Cowboys-Texans game is being able to hang out at Men's Tee Clinic in Frisco. And coming up next, the G-Bag Nation is going to do the same thing as they'll do their show out here right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. It's time for those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today? I cannot hear you, but he said terrific.
Terrific.
All right.
Yeah.
There we go. There we go.
As I told you last week, mood not dependent on the results of the Cowboys. I invite everybody to join me
it's
on
nice
that
approach.
Journey.
That really is. I've tried to adopt that. My mood is really stressful around this time because we're trying to get all the finishing touches on for Peace-a-thon.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think our goal this year, my goal, maybe people will tell me to settle down, is 100,000 plus for my possibilities. And so, Broadus, I know we'll have plenty of time to talk about this later, but I keep thinking about your suggestion when we were doing the night show, and then we were going to have the morning show on Thanksgiving. They're like, why don't you stay on air?
Dummies.
And we spent like one whole commercial break, and we're like, that sounds like a good idea. And now here we are a decade later, perhaps on the cusp in one day of raising $100,000 for My Possibilities.
Well, you guys have done a heck of a job. I just kind of said it in jest, you know, thinking of, you know, the old Jerry Lewis telethon days and stuff like that. But, you know, you guys have taken the ball and run with it. And, you know, congratulations to you, the show, and everything, and what the great work you guys do.
And by
the
way,
we were hoping we could get $500 with the first one. We were like, do you think we can make that?
Yeah.
And then here we are.
So. I told you guys earlier, though, I missed the ham slaps and stuff
sure,
like that. I think that was a part that never needs to be forgotten.
That
and
is
maybe
fair.
Maybe at 7 a.m. when I'm on with you guys, we might do the ham slap.
Well,
ask this gentleman
right here, because I think he's looking to trick it back up again.
I have currently come up with a few things. I think you did see them yesterday. I have procured a T-shirt gun cannon.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to put tennis balls in that sucker and shoot them at Kevin's face.
Wait, what
we're
did
gonna
you re- say?
We're, hey, don't worry about it. We're going to reconstitute the mousetrap maze. We're going to bring back Cranberry. Somebody will sing the Cranberries song while pouring Cranberry into their pants. Yeah.
That's the worst
And
one,
the new one that I've added is the skin pinch pickup. So somebody will lay on the floor, and then four people will pinch their skin and try to pick up that human by just their skin. So we're going to see, because Broad has said he missed it.
Bringing
it back.
That's
so
horrible. I'll tell you when it's done like at 3:20 in the morning, it makes it even better.
It does. I remember I felt good. I helped bail Corey out on, was it the juggling one?
Yeah, I was
terrible.
Where
Colby got to hit you with a big stick every time you dropped it. And he was like, I can't juggle, though.
I can't juggle.
And he was just like, bam, bam.
And then he's constantly getting smacked.
Yeah. I was like, I'm just going to die. That's it.
Well, we ran into Parker last night.
He was in town for the game.
And the first thing he says is, Peace-a-thon's coming up, right? And I'm like, yeah, you need to come back in town for this. He goes, man, that was so much fun.
It was a blast. And we'll do it again next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll bring the pepperoni.
All right. We need to talk to Colby. I'm sure he can come up and hang out for a bit.
Especially if
he knows somebody's going to be in pain.
Yeah, if he gets to hit somebody with a piece of ham,
he put that thing in the freezer for some reason.
He did.
He was like,
did
he go deaf?
Huh?
Didn't he go deaf?
Yeah,
partially.
Yeah, he did.
That's a problem.
It was a poor configuration of one girl in the room and then that other girl in the room.
That's right.
And
which made it even better.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. Since I didn't have to take the hit, I thought it was delightful.
Yep.
I can see how he would disagree. Now, I know we're having a lot of fun, and it's kind of to deflect off of what we probably knew was going to happen last night. Did anything last night surprise you in the way it played out? The game was really competitive in the first half, and then obviously it just fell apart and then the second half.
Yeah, I think the thing that I came away, and when I watched the tape this morning, now it's even clearer why Dallas's inability to run the football is they don't block everybody they're supposed to block.
Yeah.
You know, and the first play of the game, you ask your $35 million receiver to crack inside on a linebacker from an outside position. You know, and you could see that Lamb, they get that block, it's going to be an 8-yard gain. But they're asking somebody to block inside that is not comfortable blocking inside like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you kind of look, the theme of that game was running the football, let's not block everybody. Let's just let guys. Now, they caught him on a safety blitz one time, great call by the Texans defense. But there are other times when you say, man, you should probably block that guy there at the point of attack in order to try and run this football. And, you know, and I can see why Mike McCarthy goes away from it, because he sees a negative play. But when he goes back and they say, hey, what happened on that play? Well, remember we asked CeeDee Lamb in Wednesday practice to go in there and dig out a linebacker? And he didn't get it done that time, and now it's a 2-yard gain. Those are the things that, like, you're expecting to have a running game. You don't block everybody.
Yeah.
How do you run the football when you don't block point of attack defenders and you assign guys to them to block? That's asking your players to do things they're not comfortable with. That's what this staff's kind of done all year. They're asking their players to do things they're not comfortable doing. And instead of saying, oh, no, we'll be okay, send Lamb in there to block. Send Tolbert in there to block, you know. It doesn't work that way, you know. So, to me, I see it now.
I see, you know, you talk about running game issues. It's not always the back and the line. It's what the coaches ask others to do to try and run the football. That's surprising to me.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a big play that CeeDee Lamb had earlier that Jalen Tolbert had a really good block on. And I was like, that was a good block.
Yeah, the screen. And then, and actually, you know, even Mingo got a couple blocks. I was this morning, I was on the Cowboys break, and I said, man, I'd move Mingo to tackle the way he was blocking in that game. but when you ask your star receiver to go in there and dig a linebacker out, not shield, like point of attack block. How do you run the ball thinking that? CeeDee, you could see as clear as day. He runs in there with the intent, and he's like, nah. And then who makes the tackle? His guy. So you're trying to set things up, and you wonder why they don't do things well and execute well, asking guys to do things they probably shouldn't be asking them to do.
Do you think we need a refresher course for the linemen, that if you see the football on the ground, just fall on it.
Yeah. I'll tell you, with some quick hands by Guyton, though.
That's true.
You got to give him some credit for that. Yeah. But yeah, I'll tell you what, Petrie did a great job. Knowing a lineman's carrying the ball, straight punch right at the ball. I mean, just straight go. He didn't even worry about the tackle. He just went right for the ball.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that's what got it out. You know?
Yeah.
Good play.
Just fall on it.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
But you know what? It's
my one shining.
You're watching
moment.
Everybody else get their glory, and you're like, you know what? This one time, I can save the team.
You've seen it 2 weeks now in a row that, like, how about a coaching point? Like, listen, guys, when we're out in space, just fall on the ball.
Yes. The one last week I thought was really egregious, too, because it was like third and nine. Yeah. You think you're going to, and it's already 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage?
Awareness, please. Yeah. Yes. Pick your head up. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah. I'm going to go 13 yards. I'm going to get this first down. Was there anything positive that came out of this game for you, like maybe for the future, or maybe you just thought Turpin. It was positive in this game? That was a heck of a route.
Now Turpin on the route, and they catch him at a perfect coverage to do it. I mean, the way it was, they go with like a too high look to they go drop it down the single, so the safety, he replaces the safety that went down. So now here's the slant, perfect throw, great protection. How do you just target him one or two more times in that game?
Yeah.
You know, they obviously had problems with his speed. He was able, they're playing with separation. He's the one guy that can get off the line and kind of make people be a little bit nervous about it. But no, you're going to throw the ball to Span Ford like six times, you know, and not throw the ball to a guy that's an explosive player that you just saw made a huge play. Kind of some coaching malpractice there, I'd say.
That was the second time all year that they've lined Turpin up and ran that.
The slant, yeah. Yeah.
The most encouraging thing that happened last night was that they lost, keeping them in line for a top five pick.
Yep.
I want one of these quarterbacks to be on the board with them on the clock and them trade back, pick up multiple future ones. You know, you're going to need something special to sort of reverse the trend of where this organization is going, especially with the last two failed drafts. They don't have cap space coming up this offseason again. So what you need is a lot of great draft pick hits. Like for the Cowboys 14 years ago, it was the sequence of, you know, Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, and Zach Martin happened in three of four drafts. And boom, you know, three Hall of Famer, at least three all-pro level players just, you know, suddenly in the course of a short period of time gave you a foundation that kept a championship window open, you know. And now you need to get that bad boy open quickly. So whether it's a Hall of Fame type talent in the top five or trading back for additional picks, like, that's huge right now. What we don't need is a couple of, you know, unlucky wins. And they were within a you-know-what of making it a one-score game last night, late third quarter.
That's true. Know? And with that in mind, I need Quinn Ewers or Carson Beck to go on a run so there's a glut of quarterbacks at the top of the draft that everybody wants to get, because some of these quarterbacks that I thought would be at the top, they've kind of tumbled. I know they'll eventually get reevaluated, but they've kind of tumbled.
Well, I know, I guess Michael was just the playmaker on the herd there, and he's talking up Shedeur Sanders to the Cowboys. Says he's got a source if he's in the top five there. that could be something that happens.
Okay.
And if Michael's saying it, I don't know. I don't know who he's talking to.
I'm going to go back to the grindstone and take a look at some of that cap stuff and figure out how that works. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. Mike McCarthy's presser is at 3:45. We'll have Mark Schlereth at Stink at 4:40.
All right. They will continue to roll out live from Men's Tee Clinic in Frisco. 972 Go Men's Tee. 972 Go Men's Tee. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 through the Fan.
Say Go Men's Tee, Kevin.
Go Men's Tee.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.